Good morning. Be seated, please. We're going to look today at an issue that I'm sure every one of us has dealt with at some time. Why we suffer. You know, it's very common, and I feel like I've lived a very blessed life, but I've still faced a few things in life that if I had the magic wand, I would have removed. But we all face things. Unexpected health scares, loss of jobs, a reduction in pay, struggle and strife with relationships, things like that. And it's very easy to ask, why me? I don't know if there's any of us that can honestly say that we've never done that. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people, more non-Christians than anything, blame God. Blame God for things going on in their life, or sometimes blame everybody but themselves. There are a number of different reasons. And I'll be the first to say, we may never know. When something occurs in our life negative, that involves our suffering, we may never know what the answer is. But we can trust in God, and we can decide upfront, like Daniel said, I will purpose in my heart not to defile myself. That we can purpose in our heart to serve God regardless of what we go through. Now, these are just some possible reasons of why people suffer. One reason is sin. Sin in our life, or maybe sin in other people's lives. Sin causes suffering. Now, it's only natural to realize that if we sin and there are consequences, that suffering will come. Sometimes we can be the innocent party and still suffer because of somebody else's sin. We see it all the time. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, it's my life, it's only affecting me. Very rarely does something occur in a vacuum and doesn't go beyond our own actions. Sometimes our actions have a big rippling effect and affect others. There are people all the time that are minding their own business, going home, and a drunk driver. They're innocent, but some drunk driver hits them and kills them. Sometimes we are affected by others. I'd like for us to look at a few scriptures. In Numbers 26, verse 61, we see a direct correlation and a direct reaction to sin. It was individual sin. It says, and Nadab and Abihu died when they offered profane fire before the Lord. It was immediate. It was an immediate reaction. They had offered fire. This was the sons of Aaron, the nephews of Moses. Why do we think that we can sin and get away with it? Why do we sin? Why do people sin? Moses' nephews died on the spot. They didn't have some force field around them because they sinned. This happened, the results came immediate. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is addressing in chapter 6, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord." You look at this list of actions. First of all, this list of sin. Some are actions, are conduct. Some of them are attitudes. It's not just an action, it's an attitude. And in the context of this verse, it's talking about that as vile as this list is, you can be forgiven. That's what the context of this is talking about. That you can be forgiven when you're baptized. When you repent. You used to be like that. But you look at this list and what we're talking about right now. In this lesson, you look at that list. Most of those affect more than just the person doing them. It's not, there's a ripple effect of sin. And an innocent party can be harmed and affected by somebody else doing one of those. And so sin changes lives. Sin can cause people to suffer, whether we are the one doing it or whether sometimes somebody else, and we are an innocent party. We can suffer from sin. In Galatians 5, Paul will write, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." You don't have to argue. Now I'll tell you, in the world today, there is a big movement of the teaching. What's right and wrong is a sliding scale. There's a lot of people out there, well, wrong, if it's wrong for you, or if it's right for you, what's truth for you is maybe truth different for me. No, Paul says the works of the flesh are evident. It doesn't change with the day, doesn't change with the person. They're evident, which are adultery, fornication. And keep this list in mind too, at how these actions and attitudes affect others. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Anything else similar to these, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice, one of the key words in this passage, practice. Big difference in stumbling and getting back up, repenting, asking for forgiveness, dusting yourselves off and keep going, and practicing, living in it. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Another possible reason why individuals suffer is just natural consequences. Maybe no sin involved. It's just life. Some of our choices that we make. Death. None of us are getting out alive. Unless Jesus comes while we're still breathing, none of us getting out alive. In Proverbs 6, verse 7 says, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" Sometimes we kind of think, oh, I can handle this. I can play with fire. I can walk in the gutter and not get dirty. We can't. Just natural consequences, sometimes our choices or other people's choices, we suffer because of it. Galatians 6, this is the passage Rader read to us earlier for our scripture reading. Paul said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." That is just the natural order of things that God created. We're going to get older. Things are going to quit working. I've seen Tracy rubbing his knee. Every day we find new aches and pains. It's amazing. They just show up. Don't ask for them. We didn't. They just show up without. They're free. Matthew 5, verse 45. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, in the second part of verse 45 says, "For he," talking about God, "for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." We don't have the right to say, "Why me, God?" Other people suffer also. It's not necessarily a conspiracy against us. Woe is me. God's saving up his wrath for me. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. That's just the natural laws that God created to begin with. Death. It's going to happen. It happened to Adam. It happened to Abraham. Happened to Moses. Why should we think it should not happen to us? It's going to. The best thing we can do is prepare for it. And when it happens to others, it's a reminder to us. And last of all, this is kind of from a practical viewpoint. When we suffer in things of our life, it sure makes the world a little less attractive. Lessens that grip that we have, that we want to stay here. There's a lot of ugly in this world. God's blessed us with a lot of joys. During the temporary time that we are here, he's given us a lot of things to enjoy. Given you about this tall, little running around, grandma, you know, he's given us things to enjoy. But it does suffering, we're not so attached to this world. We're ready to go on to our reward. So much better. Of all the joys that we have here, our joys later in eternity are 10 times better. In Philippians 3, verse 20, we discussed this at length in our Wednesday night Bible class a couple of weeks ago. Paul was talking to the Christians in Philippi, and he's reminding them, even though they were Roman citizens, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We need to have the priorities that we're Christians first. For all the benefits of being an American citizen, and I wouldn't want to be anything on earth more than an American. We've got a lot of great liberties and freedoms right here in our land, but you know what? The citizenship rights where we're going are much better. And Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. Paul would tell the Romans, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings, if anybody suffered, I think of Paul. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Compared to what's waiting for us, these sufferings in this life are nothing in comparison. He would write to his beloved Timothy. He says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution." We're going to suffer. There's no getting around that. And we shouldn't be surprised when we do. Paul told Timothy, Christians are going to suffer. And in his last letter to Timothy, as he's awaiting execution, not for anything that he had done, but for who he was, a Christian, says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is," and Paul's confident of this. This is as much of a proclamation and a reassurance to Paul as it was to Timothy. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That includes us. That includes us, that we will have that crown of righteousness. Peter says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." That's a step higher there. That when we do suffer, be glad about it. And closing up, finishing up this passage. "If you are reproached," Peter goes on to say, "if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody." What? Look at this group. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Kind of drives the point home a little bit. The group of sins that Peter's wrapped those around. This goes right along with what Paul was talking about. You reap what you sow. If you're going to suffer, suffer for being a Christian. Don't suffer, because if you suffer as a murderer, that's just consequences. You suffer as an evildoer, that's consequences for what you've done. If you're going to suffer, suffer as a Christian. And closing up, I want us to remember what Jesus told the Apostle John, and John would write it down with inspiration. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Not an exact 10 days, but for a short period of time. Be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. These are just some of the possible reasons why we suffer. As maybe fold this up, put it in a drawer someplace, and the next time a big thing hits your life, you can pull that out, read some of these scriptures. It might help. If you need to respond to the invitation, if there's anybody here that has not put their Lord on in baptism, we have the opportunity to do that this morning. If there's sin in your life, you have the opportunity to repent right now. Turn, change, quit doing that action that is sin. If you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, please let those be known. Whatever your need, please come forward while Michael leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.